Hey, what's going on, Clipper people, Clipper fans? Just want to start off by saying we're coming in with a better energy today.
Oh, it's a better energy. It was tough after that game six. We had Carl there to help us be angry. But hey, you know what? This is a game seven preview. It's a clean slate.
It's a clean slate. As always, it's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am as positive as I've ever had to been, Chuck Buckler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Hell yeah.
And as Charles alluded to, we will be kicking things off with a Game 7 preview.
We've had,
you know, now more than 24 hours to kind of sit with this Game 6, kind of look at some things. Surprisingly, there were some things that going back, I thought did bode well a little bit for us in a game seven. So we're going to take a look at what we need to do to win this one, as well as some things that could go wrong, dig into a couple of key matchups and get into our predictions. And then it's Twitter Tuesday. If you would ever like a chance to get your Twitter Tuesday question featured on the show, go ahead. Charles usually sends out the prompt on Mondays over at Locked On Clips, but get at us there. Get at us on our personals at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. We'd love to hear from you.
For sure.
Thanks to everybody who sent in these questions ahead of time. And then we're going to be wrapping things up with some shavings. It's just going to kind of be some more general good vibes for Game 7.
And oh, yeah.
Just kind of aware as fans we should go from here. So yeah, all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, hey, if you're new to the pod, you picked a hell of a time to start listening. Welcome to the Game 7 conference semifinals preview. Whew, we came in pretty hot on yesterday's episode. We'll say that. Like you said, now that I've kind of had time to like get the general shock, you know, off of my body, I feel as level-headed as possible heading into this Game 7. Much, much more, I don't want to say positive than I felt yesterday, but I'm feeling a little more even keel about this one.
I feel a little bit more objective now looking at this game. I can't sugarcoat it. That was still a really tough loss and another opportunity in back-to-back games now where the door was partially closed on the Nuggets. And they managed to get a foot in there and just edge their way on through. So
yeah, it was tough.
We definitely do need to tighten up from an execution standpoint. No injuries to report on either side for this one.
Love it.
So that's good to know. So what do we need to do to win this one?
I mean, the offense needs to be at 100% through four quarters. We've seen it be great through two. We've seen it be great through two and three quarters, but it's been difficult to see specifically ball movement. And like Kawhi and PG are fantastic, and I love standing and watching Kawhi and PG do their thing, but we still, the guys on the court need to not do that. We need to move the ball around. It just has to happen. We got to run these. The Nuggets are going to be more tired than we are. We got to run them around. We got to get open shots. I'm fine if we miss open shots, but we got to get them.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, we a little bit know what this team is at this point. And, you know, it is a team that has been lacking a sort of offensive identity outside of Kawhi and Paul George. And even with those two on the floor, you know, there's a lot of times where I just don't see us running real clear, set, cohesive offense.
And it happens early. Like, we'll see Doc pull out a horn set. Like, he lives in that set kind of early. And then it's just like that just kind of dissipates into the ether that is the game flow, I guess.
Definitely. And this is the one area where I feel like you know, whatever your feelings as a fan may be on Doc at this point, this is one area that I truly don't think you can blame on him. I do think that this comes down to players executing and trusting in the plays, trusting in their teammates, trusting in the ball movement. But the stagnation on offense has just completely killed us. Last game, we managed an absolutely putrid 35 points in an entire half of a basketball game. In playoff basketball, mind you, with, you know, two top 10 players in the NBA. And while some of this credit is definitely, you know, due to the Nuggets defense, A lot of this does come down to the ball movement. And there's a couple of ways to look at this, like to sort of, you know, clarify or hope to sort of change in this game seven. And, you know, Morris, for one, wasn't getting a lot of open shots. All but like two of his attempts in that game six were contested. We've heard time and time again from Doc that, you know, Landry's attempts are sort of a barometer for ball movement for the team.
For sure.
And we're 2-4 in playoff games where he has three or fewer attempts. So while Landry is definitely, you know, I'm not going to go as far as to say that he's like the difference himself in terms of scoring. It definitely is a look at like where, you know, how the ball is moving, where it's moving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just difficult. I think that part of it just comes from some bad luck in that last game. We had like 10 back-to-back possessions where we could not score, some of them even on decent looks. And I think when that happens, the team clearly gets flustered.
Yes.
and they start to sort of revert to, I don't want to call it hero ball, but something similar where people are trying to take over the game instead of like trusting in a sort of plan. Throughout this series, we've ran double the amount of isolation as the Nuggets. And you know, we do definitely have the personnel to succeed in those scenarios.
Yeah.
That's not what the go-to should be.
100%. Yeah.
That to me is the last resort when, you know, for whatever reason, guys can't get open. You know, you can't create and you can't manufacture a good look. That's just going to be a key is continuing to keep that ball moving around. And, you know, once again, we're not going to see an entirely new offensive playbook from these Clippers. No. It's not like all of a sudden we're going to have it's not like all of a sudden we're going to have a ton of off ball movement or like new cuts or anything like that, unfortunately. But we still do need to move the ball, when we can trust in those sort of sets. And then the other thing is, we just got to play with a little bit more pace. I thought that we did that yes. really well in the first halves of both of those games that we ended up dropping, and not as well in the second halves. And the thing is a lot of this comes from, you know, creating offense off of our defense, you know, being able to get out there in the fast break. But we can also just push the pace, you know, as much as possible. We can't allow them to get as settled into their half court defense because they really have played very solid defense and they do have some very capable wing defenders.
It took them one game to figure it out. I felt like there was one game and then we saw like there was a very marked change from I think 3-4, maybe 4-5. Even though we won one of those games, the Nuggets defense looked different. It looked like it was a little more like it was snappier. They had that speed where they weren't necessarily maybe moving fast, but they were in places before the Clippers were trying to get into their sets. Like I
definitely
agree with that.
Yeah. And the stagnation only makes it easier for them to get set. You know, like going off of both of these things, like, you know, they have been more aggressively doubling Kawhi and they can do that confidently because we're not moving the ball. And we're not getting to the offensive end quick enough to try to shake up that set defense. So, I mean, two things that, you know, like they just have to happen if we're going to get a win.
Yeah. Another note you have in your hair, like it's keep Jokic off the glass, which is something we haven't really talked about because his distribution's so good. He's hitting absurd shots. But I like keeping Jokic out of the glass. Also, I liked what we saw when we would throw Kawhi or PG on Jokic. It was a very brief period in game six, but it's been fairly effective. Like there's a weird vibe when that happens. Obviously, I like it when Kawhi guards Jokic a little bit more than PG, but I like throwing that kind of curveball at them, plus kind of those, you know, mid-post doubles or whatever we've been throwing at them.
Definitely. And we'll talk more about the Jokic-Kawhi possible matchup in the key matchups, but definitely. It's important to throw different looks, you know. Zoo, you know, has done, you know, the best job that he can, but, you know, there are still other guys. I mean, I guess maybe just Kawhi on this team who are capable of, you know, defending someone like that, especially, in the post. I think that, Kawhi might even be better than Jokic than Zubats in that situation. So what could go wrong in this one?
So there's a very popular option that has been of some debate on Clippers Twitter between a bunch of national writers, which also look, some people in Clipper Nation just put the phone down. It's okay to take a break from Twitter sometimes.
Definitely.
But playing Trez too much, right? Like this is something that could go wrong. and this is not on Trez. This is on the situation that he's put in. Like, if Trez is going to – Doc had kind of a terrifying quote in the presser today about how, you know, a game 7 minutes restrictions kind of go out the window. So in your brain, you're like, great, that means Pat Bev's also going to play a lot. But with Doc, it could also mean, hey, maybe Trez is just going to play a bunch more minutes. You know, maybe Reggie's going to get a bunch of more random minutes. But specifically, you know, I hope that the Trez rotations get figured out. We're probably going to see some Trez versus Jokic minutes. It's just inevitable. I know we don't want to see it, but this is the coach we have. You know what I mean? So we probably are going to see it. So I just hope those minutes aren't too bad. And then kind of one that's a little, I guess kind of a little unheralded, we've talked about, is guard foul trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this has been brutal, especially the Bev minutes. It's like, man, like, you can't be fouling out. Like, PG's been the victim of it too, but we got to watch those fouls.
Yeah, PG has stayed in foul trouble kind of throughout this series. Yeah. He'll get those early fouls. Clearly, I mean, obviously, Pat, you know, played 18 minutes in the last game. That's not going to get it done. You know, Morris has his moments where I don't necessarily think that he's fouling effectively.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And I mean, the big thing for this is we lost this game in the third. And, you know, there was a multitude of reasons of that. We missed a lot of shots that we would normally make. But what certainly helped the Nuggets was us sending them to the line on every possession or every other possession. It felt like they got into the bonus very early into the third. We sent them to the line, I believe, for 15 attempts in that quarter, something around there. That's not going to help. And that just ties into the other thing, too, that we were talking about like kind of pushing the pace. If they're getting to jog back on defense and get set after free throw attempts, that makes it even harder for our offense to get them off balance. I mean, the fouls are going to be huge. If we don't have Pat Bev for, you know, 20 plus yeah. 5+ minutes in this game, I mean, certainly if he's playing effectively, that's going to be a detriment. And if PG gets an early foul trouble again, I think it's done. It messes up the rotations too much, and maybe yes. Doc just lets him play through it. But I think what we've seen throughout the regular season is that a lot of times, even when Paul George is arguing to be kept in there, he's sometimes unable to rectify the situation with the fouls.
This also might be a Scott Foster game, just based on the pattern of playoff games. So let's everyone be prepared.
It's a game seven, so I'm kind of prepared for that.
And also, to your point about the Nuggets and the free throw line, the Nuggets don't even go to the free throw line that much. So when you give a team the opportunity to see shots go in, that's another mental edge situation. So if they're coming back in the middle of a game, say game five, game six, and they're watching this happen, it's even more confidence. We need Sham and Lou to hit outside shots. Like,
yes,
they've kind of flown under the blame radar a bit, I think, over these past couple games. And they've been ice cold. Like, it's just true. Like, we've kind of seen Lou getting to like kind of ramp up speed ish and whatnot, but like, we do need Kawhi and PG can only do so much, and it's been elite. It's been great. They have missed some key shots late. But over the whole game, we need Sham and Lou to hit shots. Like, that will make this – that would have made last game easier. It would have made the game before that a lot easier. Like, that will make this game seven a little bit easier if that happens.
Definitely. And Lou had, like, an uncharacteristic finishing game last time. He missed, like, three or four point blank layups. Just shots that, I mean, he's in every time. I think more than those two, though, we can't have another invisible Morris game. I think in both of these losses, he hasn't been particularly impactful. And, you know, maybe that's just due to him not getting the ball in the right spots. But, he's got to step it up, man.
All right, some real quick matchups. We're also – I can't do a prediction for this game. I refuse to do a prediction for this game seven. That's just me. For matchups, so, like, we're going to see Trez and Jokic like we talked about, and we talked about earlier, but, like, it's got to be – Kawhi's got to be taking some of the Jokic minutes from Trez when they're both on the floor together.
If Trez – so I did notice in the last game, too, there were minutes where Trez was on the floor, but Paul George was, like, one of the starters on there with him. And I think you need Kawhi or Morris out there. You need someone else who can kind of shoulder the defensive burden in the front court. And Paul George is not that guy. I think that, throwing Kawhi in there for some minutes is good. I, once again, like, it's, I think if we're having Kawhi guard Jokic for the sole fact of trying to keep Trez in there, I think that's a losing effort and a losing play. Oh,
100%. It's a bad strategy.
And a complete waste of someone's talent and effort. But hey, he did do a decent job against him through like a very limited six possessions. Kawhi held Jokic to 1 of 3 shooting, only a single assist, which is, you know, better than anyone else did individually. Yeah. So, I mean, it just gets difficult because, you know, they're going to try to get Kawhi. They're going to try to get, you know, Kawhi stuck in the screen, get switched onto Paul George or somebody else where, you know, Jokic has fared really, really well. So we'll see how that matchup goes. I still don't know how many full possessions we'll really see of that.
Yeah.
I think it just depends, especially if you have Zoo in drop coverage. Like, I don't know. I don't know how much you see Kawhi sort of covering Jokic. But talking about Zoo, another key matchup is Zoo kind of versus both ends of the floor.
Consistency would be nice. He's kind of someone who offensively has flown underneath the blame radar, at least last game especially.
Yeah. Let's be real. I know that everyone out there has enjoyed Zoo in this series and we've kind of given him a lot of praise, but I mean, we have to be honest. It's not really that Zoo has been great. It's just that he hasn't been as bad as Trez, which is a really low bar.
For sure. His plus minus, if you're on the net rating, is good, but like, and the offense looks better. But yeah, like in terms of tangible, like, dude, he was 1 of 6 last game. His shots aren't coming from that far away.
Well, and his plus minus is always going to be bolstered by playing with Kawhi, Paul George, and Marcus Morris.
For sure. Yeah.
So like, it's not just him out there. And we can't ever think that it is. And
I like to take 4 possessions of a game and extrapolate it to a full net rating for the game. So those 4 possessions are indicative of the entire
game.
Or
everything.
Sir.
And if Zoo's going to get heavy minutes in this game 7 rotation, he's going to need to take advantage of his offensive opportunities.
Yeah.
He needs to be finishing those easy looks at the rim. You know, he missed some point blank looks last game. His field goal percentage is a little bit bloated by a couple of them that are really just tips that are getting counted as attempts in a lot of traffic. So it wasn't necessarily as bad as 1 for 6,
for sure.
But he did miss point blank looks, and that, I just don't think Doc's going to let that fly if he's going to be out there on the floor.
And then my final matchup is Kawhi and PG versus this absurd streak of play that they're on. They've had a pretty big offensive burden, as they're going to. And it only gets bigger in game 7, right? Like, this is where you turn to the dudes, and you might even see more ISO play and things like that. So they both need to show up big in both ends. I'm not saying that in a way that makes me think they won't or haven't been, but this is their biggest game up to this point as Clippers. It's everyone on this team's biggest game as a Clipper. And we just got to show up and have the same energy in the second half as the first half, which has been the story the last, you know, 2 games. Do you want to give a prediction on this game? Clippers are 7.5 point favorites right now from Vegas.
Look, I don't know.
I would take the under, because who knows what the fuck's gonna happen.
I really don't know. It's difficult. Like, I never bet on this team in terms of actual money. I think the Clippers, they're a difficult, I think they're, you know, very difficult team to beat 3 times out of 3. But I don't know, you know, we have seen them with leads in both of these games, seen them blown. But I hope that, you know, even if shots aren't falling, we can kind of hang our hat defensively, play a little bit better on that end of the floor than we have been, and grind this one out, make it just a gritty, dirty win that isn't necessarily pretty to look at. Job done.
Couldn't agree more. Coming up, we're going to be answering your questions from Twitter Tuesday. If you ever want those answered, go ahead and send them to @LockedOnClips on Twitter. But first, got to give a shout-out to Rock Auto. They're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. That's a fat dub online. You've been around for like 80 human years. You've been around for 20 online years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your car, pit. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. That's rare. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available. And tell them, make sure in the box you write "Locked On" for how did you hear about us, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Okay, so we're back with Twitter Tuesday. Once again, thank you so much to everybody who sent those questions in ahead of time. If you want your question to be featured on the show, go ahead and send those over to at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler.
Hell yeah.
So kicking things off today is Xavier Dawson. He wants to know, is this on Doc Rivers or is this on the players not playing at their level of play and not excelling?
Starting us off with a heater right here. I think it's, Abe Simpson would say, a little of column A, a little of column B, you know? Like, we've seen PG have elite games, but we've seen him miss shots late that really would have helped us out. We've seen Bev start off hot and then get two technicals, which seems like a bit of a mental lapse, you know what I mean? And we've seen the team do their usual thing, which has kind of come out a little lackadaisical, which seems on Doc. I think you needed a perfect storm for a game seven to happen from this 3-1 deficit for the Nuggets perspective, right? Like, you needed kind of both of these things to go wrong if you're the Nuggets.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, both things are true. I think where it gets a little bit difficult is, you know, if players aren't sticking to the offensive sets, I mean, that's still on both people to me.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, he should be preparing them to stick to the sets and they should be preparing to stick to the sets.
Like, yeah. I mean, so there's some difficulties here in player performance. I mean, clearly, you know, our bench, especially our top two bench guys, are producing maybe 50% of what we saw. And if that, I feel like that's maybe even be generous. Much
lower, for sure.
But that's one of those things that's a little bit. That's one of those things that's a little bit bound to happen. You know, in playoff play, the highest level players are going to stay on the floor for the longest. But I don't think Doc has done this lineup any favors in the matchups.
Yes, 100%.
I don't think he's done this team any favors in the rotations. And you know, like, well, it's certainly not all attributable. Trez as a player, how many times, go back and watch the film and tell me how many times Trez is on the floor and we're not, you know, pissing away a lead. So
yeah,
I do think that like schematic things like that are definitely on him. So yeah, but either way, it's definitely both.
It has to be both. And there's not one person to blame at all. At Daniel Kogi _SFC, apologize if I pronounce that wrong, asks, what you guys think about playing Noah instead of Trez. He also adds a big hug from a Clips fan from Brazil. Hey, shout out Brazil.
Shout out Brazil, love it.
Shout out Clippers Brazil too, which posts some bold graphics after games happen, if you saw that.
Love
Luka Doncic run.
Love it. Hope we get to see another one after a Clippers game seven victory. I don't really play Noah. I just struggle to see where that's a
He's
good
He's out
fit.
Of shape for playoff basketball. Like, you know, yeah, is he a better passer than Trez? Undoubtedly. Like, of course. Is he going to take as many charges? He'll probably try to. But as far as kind of everything else goes, I just don't think it's just not going to happen.
He's not right. And here's my other thing.
I'd put Patterson in before I'd put Noah in.
Yeah, definitely. And here's my other thing, which we didn't talk about yet, but like, why do we still even stick with a traditional big? We have some of the best wing players.
Well, we only have one too, which is what's so funny, right? Like,
no, Trez still plays like a traditional big. We can't play five out with Trez.
Yeah.
So I'm saying if we have all these guys that are, we have a million power forwards.
Floor spacers, yeah.
Yeah, why aren't we just going five out if Zoo isn't on the floor? I really fail to understand it. I don't know what the advantage is of still playing with a, you know, quote-unquote traditional big. Obviously, Trez is only 6'7 or whatever, but...
Yeah, that's more what I went. Like,
he's skill set of a traditional big.
Yeah, like, he's untraditional in the size sense, which really kind of hurts him.
Yeah.
It really kind of is tough. No, I think we should be going five out. I'd love to see Jermichael play. You know, I hope Doc's quote about the minutes in the depressor today was about maybe Jermichael playing more extended minutes. You know, like,
his playoff minutes have been up. They have been ramping up.
Yes.
He was the first sub in at 4-0 in the last game. which, you know, was a great adjustment. I don't know. Like I said, and we've talked about this enough times, so I'll just leave it at that. But we just need to play a five out lineup if Zoo it can't be on the floor.
Couldn't agree more. At AJ Akiri, sorry if I mispronounced that, asks, do you think the underdog mentality the Clippers built the past couple seasons contribute to why this team has a difficult time maintaining leads? If not, why do you think this team struggles to hold leads? Also, will you purchase Kawhi's Jolly Rancher shoe if they win tomorrow? So
part two, yes.
Part two, those are, I don't usually like the multicolored shoes, kind of like the what the trend with
yeah.
shoes. Those look pretty good. I like colors too. Also, shout out Jolly Ranchers.
I like two of the colorways, and I like the slides a lot. So I might end up getting the slides.
It's a good
not the Omnis. But yeah, I don't know. What kick off the first part.
I don't think it helps. So I was golfing today with sometimes guests of the show, Uncle Pat Laurie, Fatty Patty C. And we talked about this where, you know, last season it was a lovable underdog team, right? That kind of, we were playing with house money no matter what happened. It was a good season, especially once the playoffs hit. And then we had the best the playoffs have ever gone for maybe an eight seed. Maybe, not literally the best, but you know what I mean. And I think for the guys who'd been on the team for a couple seasons, you know, Jermichael was only on the team for last year and stuff like that. I think it is kind of a weird position to be in, to go from the plucky underdog with the cornerstone point guard of your franchise to then trading that cornerstone away. And now you're immediately vaulted to the Vegas favorite, right? Yeah. Like, so I think it's a hard adjustment, but I don't think it's totally to blame for the leads. I think, again, that's kind of a column A, column B thing with Doc as well.
I mean, I just think bottom line, we're not those teams.
We're not those teams.
We weren't those teams as soon as, you know, July 5th of last year rolled around.
Yeah.
I do love this question, and I did love the identity of those teams, but it's just not related. It's, you know, it's not
which related is hard. So I think I agree, but I think it's maybe hard for, like, I mean, these guys are professionals. They know exactly what they're doing, but like for Lou and Trez, you know, like the adjustment's big for Trez in these playoffs too, right? Because last year's playoffs, he was a part of helping that comeback and things
like that. I know, but he also hasn't been playing like he was last year.
No, agreed. So I think it's this combination of all of these things have become a domino effect that is exacerbated by the environment they're in. You know, like there's, you know, you don't go home now, you go back to the bubble and you're just kind of stuck. Luca E23 was a tough choice. If you had to choose between Sam and Lou, who would you keep?
Oh man, so this is like really difficult for me when
I'm picking Sam Cassell. This wasn't a hard choice for me. Immediately Sam Cassell.
No, this is a great question. I love this. So
we're talking Ty Lue, not Lou Williams, if you're listening.
Yes. So, yeah. Yeah. So no, I want Lou Williams on the coaching bench. Shoot it every time.
I mean,
you know, I think that Sam is great. I think that he's like a positive factor to be around on the team. I do wonder though, I'm going to miss Ty Lue, when he's not on this bench next year, because I just think that there are people who see the game differently, who need to be in Doc's ear. And I'm not saying that Sam Cassell doesn't see the game differently, but
it's different than when Ty Lue gives Doc advice.
Yeah. It's just different. And I mean, Ty Lue, you know, won a championship, and you know, you can accredit that to the players as much as you want, but he really ran a brilliant scheme to take away what made the Warriors, and like have them play the type of basketball that they wanted to play. So I do think that like that seems very valuable to me. At the same time, you know, Sam Cassell for head coach, I want him to stay a Clipper forever though.
My thing with Sam Cassell is there's probably days where Doc is a big personality. He's fantastic with the media. But he also strikes me as the kind of person who, when he's unhappy in a professional setting, everyone understands what is happening and it's maybe not as good of a time. Yeah. Sam Cassell is that great equalizer, right?
Definitely.
Like Sam Cassell is that guy. We've talked about it. Everyone has a smile on their face when they see Sam Cassell. Like the dude will play one-on-one like all day before the game starts. So I think Sam Cassell I'd rather keep from a pure maintaining a quote-unquote, this term gets used way too much in sports now, but maintaining a culture, you know what I mean? Like within the organization, I think Sam Cassell is kind of pillar of that new Clippers culture.
Yeah, I don't know. Ty Lue has as many rings as Doc, so I want to keep him on the bench.
Damn. I mean, all right, that's fair. Also, a special shout out to Ty Lue for, I think, the year they beat the Warriors. He talked about how they had secret playoff defense that they weren't playing in the regular season. So shout out Ty Lue. And then at Coach Dave, we hope Coach Dave is doing well. Haven't heard from him in a while. Shout out to Coach Dave. He wants to know, why does he keep doing this to himself?
Oh, man.
Which I think a lot of Clippers fans are asking. But Carl kind of talked about it on yesterday's episode. This is what, you know, a lot of us pick the Clippers because we like the identity of a team that's maybe had not the easiest time trying to get to where they're at and maintain their goals, which is something maybe some of us can identify with and stuff like that. That's why, and because life is pain, is also the borderline, the bottom line answer, I guess.
Yeah, life is pain, I think, is a big one. No, I mean, I don't know. This was a team that I guess I like identified with. You know, I'd never gotten to live in a city that had a professional basketball team before, so it was a pretty easy choice for me to make. You know, one team I hated and one team loved.
No. And this is what sports is all about. Like, we're going to talk about it more in Shavings, but like, we just hope everyone's doing all right. Like, this is what, this pain is part of the joy of sports.
It's part of the whole thing, right? And I mean, I know we were down.
And it's not even real pain yet.
Yeah. And I mean, we were really down yesterday. I think that was like, yeah. Honestly, the game six loss pain was greater to me than it will be if we end up, if this ends up being the end of our season.
And we had to do a dick pill read on that episode.
Dude, and we did. We had to do an ED read. But I mean, so to me, it's like, I mean, even if we make the Western Conference final this year and we don't end up making it all the way to the finals, to me, that victory is like going to feel so sweet just because we've never been there before. And you know, we're finally in the position where we're in striking distance of a Larry O'Brien. And right, like the harder the path is, like the sweeter the reward. So I think that like, you know, when we do end up getting a chip, I say when, not if. I don't know if it'll be this season, but when we do end up getting a chip, I mean, for me, I think it will have ultimately been worth it.
Couldn't agree more. We're staring on the precipice of success.
Or failure.
Hey, it's a precipice either way, baby, and we're hurling ourselves off of it.
Coming up, it's a precipice on either side.
Yeah, this is just a tightrope at this point. Coming up after this, we're going to just be doing a quick kind of how we're going to be preparing pre-game seven and just kind of getting our vibes right. All right, so this is a very quick shavings. We're kind of talking just
what to prepare for game seven.
What are you doing? Do you have your day planned out at all tomorrow to get geared up for game seven?
No.
Do you ever have your day planned out? Also, I guess we should start with the control question.
Yeah. I mean, I vaguely plan my days out.
That's fair. You're not a superstitions sports fan, right? Like, you're not in that realm. I'm very much in that realm.
I'm more of a trends person than a superstition.
So you're like the analytics version of superstitions.
If I've done certain things, if certain trends or patterns have emerged themselves throughout a series or throughout a season, then perhaps I do tend to go into those patterns or trends. I wouldn't call it a superstition. I would not call it a superstition.
It's a little stition. I have my day partially planned out. I will be golfing at 1 p.m. Just at the Los Feliz par 3 course, just to kind of ease my mind, get out into nature, remember kind of where we're at on this.
Breathe that toxic air.
Breathe the toxic smoke air that makes me homesick for Montana back in the summers. Just, you know, really connect with Mother Gaia just to really get my my vibrations nailed down for this game seven. But I mean, I don't know. I've been stressed all day for it. Just the anticipation, like not about the result, just like I want this shit done. Like,
yeah.
I wish it was happening at 10 a.m. kind of.
Yeah. I want to wake up, maybe drink a bottle of Chardonnay, take a nap.
Just off the bat. Dude, if you wake up, drink a bottle of Chardonnay, go back to sleep, get Chick-fil-A breakfast. I don't know if I'm gonna drink a bottle of Chardonnay. I will definitely have a beer while I'm work golfing, as I like to call it. Doc called Kawhi unshakable in his presser today in terms of game sevens.
You couldn't ask for a better superstar to go
really
into a game seven.
Right. We can hang our hats on that.
Yeah. He like truly takes no sort of like like bearing or emotion from the last game. You know, there's things that he learns obviously in each game, but I can't name a better player who could come in with like a completely blank slate, regardless of what had happened before or what could happen after. And that's the kind of guy you need. So
it's funny because he almost plays like every game is a game seven, and also like every game is not a game seven because he has one speed. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, yeah, we just hope Clipper Nation's doing well out there. Do whatever you got to do to get right for game seven.
Definitely.
And you know what? At the end of the day, we're Clippers fans. It's been the most exciting season in terms of anticipation and stuff like that. Let's just have good vibes for game seven, you know?
Yeah. We've had a lot of bests in franchise history.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, let's just hope we can make this first Western Conference final.
Let's get it.
Either way, we'll be with you after.
Either way, we'll be with you after. Wednesday's episode, look, there's only one thing it's going to be, and it's going to be a recap of whatever the hell happens in game seven, as well as whatever might happen between now and then in Clipperland. Will, where can these fantastic people find us and tell their friends to find us?
You can find us on the podcast app. You can find us on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Deezer. We're on Stitcher. Basically, anywhere where you get your podcast, go ahead and check us out. If you haven't already, please leave. Please go ahead and subscribe. Leave a rating and review if you feel so inclined. We got one person who said we didn't talk about every game after of the playoffs. We do talk about every game of the playoffs, just depending on how it works out schedule-wise, it might not be the same day.
Yes, exactly. We apologize for that. But yeah,
we appreciate the feedback. Thanks, big dog.
Yeah, really appreciate it. Also, your Twitter account got suspended, so I hope that's going well for you. Yeah, we're going to be with you guys. Thank you, everyone who's been listening. This still remains a crazy ride, and it will hopefully remain one after game seven in this NBA bubble. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.